You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Have you ever vulcanized the whoopee stick in the ham wallet?
Yeah, I mean, it was earlier today I did.
How about batter dipping the cranny axe in the gut locker?
Well, you know, when I was younger, but not a long time.
How about cattle prodding the oyster ditch with a lap rocket? What about marinating the nether rod in the squish mitten?
Okay, now you're just getting ridiculous.
Okay. One last one, though.
Mm-hmm.
And this one maybe as you have done. Have you ever pressure washed the quiver bone in the bitch wrinkle?
Not since I gave up church.
Episode for you. In the words of the brilliant poets who didn't know it, Salt and Peppa, let's talk about sex, baby. Going all the way back to the origins of rock and roll, the evil that surrounded it was largely based on the idea that somebody might have sex just because it feels good. So me and my boy Loose Cannon, we do what we do best here at Cobras and Fire, and that's dig deep into the matter. We get into the most sexually explicit songs of hard rock and heavy metal of the last, I don't know, fuck it, whatever, 30, 40 years. And by the end of it, you're going to be sweaty. You're going to need a towel and a cigarette and probably a shower. And if you're a man, you're probably going to fall asleep when we're done. But before we get into that, Luce and I would like to take a moment to thank one of our colleagues over at Decibel Geek, fellow writer Wally Norton and co-host of the soon-to-be-started Canadian Geeks with Beers, Chat, and Metal podcast, who will be co-hosted with another Decibel Geek alum, Rich the Meister Dillon. I guarantee you'll be needing to check that out when it comes out, and we'll make sure you're aware of it. But Wally is also a contributor to Huffington Post, and he was kind enough to mention us in an article, he talked about the death of the radio and the rise of the podcast. You can find a link to that on our Facebook page, at the Cobras and Fire Facebook page. So please check it out. It's a very good read. And Wally, thank you so much for including us in your article. It's it just makes us horny. And with that, we need time to get into this week's Cobra on Fire. Webb, congratulations. You are this week's Cobra on Fire. Thank you so much for taking time to share the episode. We look forward to your continued support of the show. Feel free to reach out to us on Facebook or whatever, you know, fucking text loose, you know. Anyway, thank you very much. And if you are listening out there, you got a minute and you like what you hear, take a second and share it, and you too will eventually become a Cobra on Fire. We're going to get to everybody. So, with that said, let's get right into it, people. Are you feeling it? So get your jerk socks out and get ready for a happy ending. We give you sex, sex, and rock and roll.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, Luce Cannon, along with the perpendicular Baco. How are you, sir?
Oh, man, I am six to midnight, just like the music we're going to play today.
Oh, yes. We, you know, reach into your pocket, grab onto your rocket. We are going on a ride, correct?
A lot of dicks. A lot of dicks going to be in this episode, man.
Yeah, you thought that there is a... We've set a standard in podcast, you know, history of dick jokes per episode. Or mentions of taint for the last one. Mm-hmm. But we are going to exceed expectations with our episode that features songs that basically have to do about fucking, right?
I like when Rob Kern told us that story. You know what this song's about? Fucking.
He was breaking down rock and roll over.
Yeah. He's like, telling his wife, like, hey, Don, what song, you know what this song's about? Fucking. So yeah, yeah, you know what this episode's about, people? Fucking.
So that's what we've got. That's what we got for you. We're going to call this episode Sex, Sex, and Rock and Roll. Get rid of the drugs, you got room for more sex. And that's really what rock and roll is all about. I mean, come on, people. You got, it's either power, sex, partying. I mean, that's the basic core of rock. Yes?
Yeah, I mean, that's why it's made by ugly people.
Just like this podcast.
Yeah, no doubt.
So we got faces for radio, people, or faces for podcast. So here's the deal. What we're going to do is we're going to take some of the most, let's just call them overt rock songs about sex. What do you think?
Yeah, and you know, if it's all right, could we lead off with a personal story of my own experience writing lyrics that may be somewhat suggestive in the penis into the vagina?
Is this the Jesus Chrysler song or pre?
No. This is okay, so this is me like before I even knew how to play guitar, writing lyrics in a notebook. Okay, you know, as a,
so this is a little bit of Jesus Chrysler pre-cum.
Yeah, let's put it that way. Yeah, but yeah, in like 1983, 84, you know, whatever. I was in junior high somewhere around that time. I had a little book that I had some written lyrics, and I don't know which one that my stepmom would have found. She had the tendency of, like, going through my shit all the time trying to find stuff.
Are you kidding me? She went through your stuff, so she's found some...
She washed my winter coat all the time looking for drugs. My winter coat was the cleanest fucking coat in the world. This psycho. And one day, she finally found model glue, which I was using for gluing models, and she accused me of sniffing glue. So we had wow. a kind of, whatever, we had a little bit of an abrasive relationship. But the point being is that, you know, she was already kind of gunning for me. And I had some very childish, overtly sexual lyrics that she surprisingly, when she talked to me about it, was kind of cool about. She wanted to just make sure that I wasn't about to rape some woman or something. All I remember was one of the songs is called Power Ram. And my little pre-pube, pre-laid mind is like... I remember the line slamming in her with the power of a ram. As I grew older, I became much more progressive. I don't really write about sex a lot in Jesus Chrysler, at least not in the I'm gonna go out and fuck some hot stripper and stuff. But I was definitely in that mindset at that time. So that was I clearly was aware of it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one of the reasons that drew me to so much of the 80s rock was just it's ridiculous. Like, I was just like, man, these guys do nothing but get laid. My God! What, do they got nothing to talk about? I just remember those interviews with Kiss, where you can do your best Paul, but basically, that's all we knew. All we knew is banging. So that's all we wrote about. That's all
what
we wrote.
Am I going to write about, my butler?
Yeah, I don't got nothing about it. It sounds like some cartoon
character.
Hey,
I'm the Paul on the show, okay?
Well, listen, I'm going to just throw my hat in the ring. And it's a very nice hat. It's a nice feather and everything. And I'm going to throw my hat in there. And anyway, so you know, back in the day, we just knew about girls and having sex and also about room service, you know, getting some meals and eating, but the eating I'm talking about, that's pussy. So anyway,
when I say love gun, I'm actually talking about my penis.
Oh yeah, that's right. My God, that's still the best Kiss movie. Role Models, come on.
Oh yeah, it's fantastic.
It's the best. It was the biggest surprise when I watched that movie, too. I've mentioned this in a previous episode. Yeah. I had no idea going into that movie that it was going to have a Kiss.
Yeah, same here. They really didn't feature it, and I didn't hear any news about it on, like, Blabbermouth or nothing. So
yeah, I'm sure. For some, I don't know who it is. I'm guessing maybe Paul Rudd is the music fan, because that, and then I think it was right after or two movies
I
after.
I Love You, Man, that, with the Rush connection.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that was the same kind
that
of thing.
That was amazing. Like, it might be Judd Apatow. He's the one who put both those together.
Yeah, either way, I mean, great. Yeah, you want to kick this off with a hugely overt song by a band that definitely has those, but this one I think is their pinnacle, their peak boner song.
Well, do you really think it's overt when you say, like, sink the pink, it's all in fashion, drink the drink, it's old fashioned? What is he gonna? Is he talking about drugging a chick and fucking her? I mean...
Yeah, but I think that's pretty overt.
Man, you used to get away with a lot more than you can now. Was Brian Johnson in the Women's March over the weekend? a little pink old man hat.
How would you like to hear that blasting on the speakers? I mean, this might be Trump's theme song.
Oh,
Sink the pink, grab him by the pussy. I mean, this is like the same thing. It's unbelievable.
All right, so from the very, very underrated and underappreciated 1985 record, Fly on the Wall, here's AC/DC with Sink.
Sink the Pink!
We'll be right back.
I'm not sure what how I feel right now, Luce. Are you sweating too?
I'm a little sweaty, you know. But you had a good question about.
Yeah, is it the pink penis or the pink vagina? Are you sinking the pink penis, or is it just like they're both pink? We're sinking it.
It's a bit of a brain boggler. I got to tell you, I've never thought of it too much.
Contact the New York Times.
Yes. So, but we'll move forward and let's go to another 80s band that has, I would say, a good amount of their songs are about sex.
All of them.
Pretty much. You know, and anybody that actually owns a strip club, right? Isn't that, was it a strip club or is it just a bar?
Are you talking about the Cat House?
There you go, the Cat House.
Ricky Rockman broke this down. It wasn't even actually its own thing. They basically booked a club that was open, and they would call it the Cat House for a couple nights a week. You know what? That there may be two different timelines that I'm confusing with that. It was a bar.
There was a Cat House.
It was
at one
a
point.
Bar, but yeah, to okay. answer the question.
Fair enough. But yeah, I mean, we're talking about.
I think I might have been thinking about when they brought it back in the early 2000s, and that was just like a club night, you know. But
yeah, so, you know, a similar story to your stepmom. I do remember when I was. I would listen
you
to.
You knew my stepmom?
similar story as far as moms getting in your business, looking at your. You know, your lyrics or your albums and stuff like that. And one of them was when I had Wake Me When It's Over. And I remember my mom, like, picked up the cassette and she said this out loud and then put it down and walked away. She goes, "When there's a whip, there's a way." And she just put it down and walked away. I'm like, yeah, okay. But, like, all these songs on this album is pretty much just ridiculous, over the top. And
on a side note, are you like me? Can you remember the day you proudly dropped in the Wasp song Sex Drive and your dad's cassette player in his car?
No.
While he drove you to the Burnsville Mall. Oh yeah, I was so happy. It's like my dad was an extremely tolerant man.
That's good. No, I mean, all this stuff's great. I do remember my earliest memory of offending the elders, you could say, would be when I do you remember those old, like, diners that had, like, the jukeboxes on the tables?
Sure,
like,
yeah.
There's these little ones that would have, like, 20 songs.
Yeah, and I'd be like, why isn't Fuck Like a Beast by Wasp on here?
Well, there's this one that was randomly, I don't know who was messing with the song selection, but it was this little dumpy diner, and we would go there and they would have, like, you know, like your top 40 kind of stuff, but once it had Kiss Lick It Up on there, and then it was my quarter, and I put it on there, and I was playing, and you know, I had no idea it was about oral sex or whatever like that. And my mom's just like, never play this song again. It was just jamming on that. It was like, hey, pass the bacon for breakfast as we listen to Lick It Up at the diner table. So yeah, everybody always hits that.
Well, then she's far more tolerant than you're describing if she didn't take your Where There's a Whip, There's a Way, your Wake Me When It's Over cassette.
No, but I did have, because basically my double cassette jam box that I'd be in our driveway playing basketball, like, all afternoon.
Hey, how many times did you hold that over your head outside a Girl You Like's bedroom window?
That's a good point. That's a great image. But no, I
playing
had
Where There's a Whip, There's a Way.
I had one version.
That movie That's gets a lot darker when you do that.
That's the way you serenade a lady. You play that one.
Come on, John Hughes. Get your head out of your ass.
Let's play some Faster Pussycat. Come on. It was that close. It was that song or the Peter Gabriel song. Last minute change. I don't know if you saw the behind the scenes of Say Anything, but that's what happened. Last minute. Guys, we're not going to go with the Faster Pussycat track.
Cusack almost walked off because
he walked off. Fuck that, man. Pussycat all the way. FP. Hmm. I'm pretty sure that's not true. But yeah, so no, I did have one version though of like Guns N' Roses was one of the first rock bands that I can recall that would just drop F bombs continuously.
Mm-hmm. And the weird thing is, like, because it seemed like it was on all the time, but it's only on like 8 or 9 times on like 3 or 4 songs or something.
Right, but it seemed like a lot.
Yeah, but it seemed like a crazy amount. Like you're listening to a Richard Pryor record and while your parents are asleep or something, you know?
Yeah, so I had... So what I did is I, on the two cassettes, I made a edited version of of that album. And what
Nerd.
I would do is I would well, I did it so I could jam it and my parents wouldn't be like,
what
are you...
did it, nerd.
Okay, anyway, but I did, but I can't believe I did that, where I would just hit pause for like 1 second between tape one and tape two, and that was my recording of the album without it be like, give me one of the lines. Oh, easy, like, it's so easy. It's ridiculous.
And your mom just thought you bought it at Walmart.
So easy. Yeah, pretty much. I made my own Walmart version. I don't think they had, were they censored back then?
I don't remember when they started doing that. Yeah,
that would be ridiculous.
So back to your boombox in the driveway with the paused out F words.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much the end of the story. But Slip on the Tongue was one of them I would listen to all the time. And do you have the lyrics pulled up on this?
Yeah,
bad
I do.
Boy?
Paint. You want? What do you want me? Where do you want me to start? Just to the top here.
Well, or? there's that bridge. That bridge says. You can pick whatever you want. What do you think that's choice in the song?
I don't know. I mean, this is Bury Myself.
I got one.
Yeah, go ahead. Go.
I got a psychopathic love that fits like a glove. My baby bucks like a bronco when I start to shove. And this is my favorite line on the entire album. Get your feet up to your ears. Slam it home. Take me to Rome and watch me disappear.
Come on.
Well, this you really can't get a more sexually overt band from that era other than the two we've probably played, right? I mean, every song by AC/DC is about a dick going into a hole of some kind. And Faster Pussycat's not too far behind them.
No, it's not. I mean, The Devil and She likes to sweep beaten dreams every day on the dehumanizing master. You know, that's a little lyrics from Where There's a Whip, There's a Way. I mean, but what you got?
Yeah, well, hopefully something that can hang in there with the borderline bestiality theme that we might be touching on.
Let's do it.
You know Zodiac Mind Warp and the Love Reaction or whatever they're called?
I do. I remember the song Prime Mover with the video with this silly, terrible, like,
excellent green screen
off.
Effect, you mean?
Yeah, yeah, that and the fact that, and I didn't know it until about a couple of years ago, but the fact that the song Feed My Frankenstein is a, I knew seeing the lyrics in the Hey Stupid album that said Alice Cooper / Zodiac Mind Warp, and I was like, what? What does that even mean? He's like, but because it's their song. So that's all I know about them, but I like the stuff I've heard, so go ahead.
Well, I'm a big fan of the record. It's kind of one of those hidden gems from that era. It was almost a song I played on one of the solo podcasts a couple years ago, but it didn't quite make the cut, man. But
I gotcha.
I'm going to get away from Prime Mover because that's only kind of about dicks and stuff. I'm going to go into full-on with they had a song called Backseat Education, which talked about it's about fucking.
Oh, yeah.
In a backseat of a car.
I gotcha. I
so
understood.
So you don't know that this was like a video that MTV, you know, dabbled with, at least on Headbangers Ball. Never heard it?
No, the only one I've ever seen is the Prime Mover. That's it. Or heard. Yep.
All right. Well, let me give you a little taste of some of their choice lyrics here.
Please do.
Come to church. I'm the preacher. Jump in the motor. Let the kisses cascade. I'm the love commando. This is a raid. If love is an art, baby, I'm surreal. With you by my side, can't keep my hands on the wheel. Unbuckle that strap. Jump in the back. Let's steam up the windows of my Cadillac. There you go. And by the way, give them credit, because like in 1987, seatbelts... you know, we needed to be educated about the importance of wearing seatbelts. He clearly has a woman who has her seatbelt properly fastened in the passenger seat.
And that's good. Did you ever get dragged to one of those defensive driving classes when you were got some tickets? Did you ever go to any of those, or are you a good driver and never got caught?
Oh man, yeah, I've never. No, apparently you get more angry at bonkers houses than I do. So,
well, I went to defensive driving classes 3 times before I was 20. I had my license basically on different insurance than my parents, all that kind of stuff. I was a terrible driver. But anyways, when you would go to these, though, you realize how dumb you've been.
Do you
to
fuck
get
somebody?
What?
This is the sex story, right?
No, it's not. I just want to go with the seat. I'm going with your seatbelt comment.
Okay.
The fact that back then, I still remember these classes that people would be like, listen, you have to wear your seatbelt. It's going to help. And you'd have these people raising their hands go, that's bullshit. I don't need to wear my seatbelt. When I get into an accident, I'm just going to grip onto the steering wheel and save it. Or if I got my kid in there, I just whap my arm and hold him from going through the windshield. People got used to argue about the validity of the safety of a seatbelt. And this is less, what, 20 years ago? It's ridiculous, Baco.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the law. I'm not going to lie. But I've never claimed that it doesn't do anything.
This is what these people would have. They would have arguments saying
it
is
safer, and
law.
You should. But the problem I have with it is that, like, in the wintertime up here, you know, the coats are kind of bulky. And it's kind of a pain in the ass to run fucking up to the Super America up the street and have to spend almost as much time buckling your seatbelt as you do driving.
Well, so let's buckle up some boners here.
Buckling
what
up
got?
The boners.
What you got?
Isn't it your pick?
You didn't even play the song yet, motherfucker.
Backseat Education.
You want to ride, baby? This is a special car, honey. the church. I'm the preacher. Dump in the mood like a Jesus cascade. I'm the love commando. This is so great. The brothers in my heart, baby, I'm so real. With you by my side, can't keep my hands on the wheel. I'm buckle and strap, jump on the back.
Covered car safety, loose. What do you got? What kind of, like, let's strap in some boners.
You know what? I think we're about to break, to possibly alienate our entire audience, and to definitely break Chris Sinzak if you listen to this episode. But I think we need to have a complete rant and go back and forth about a song title that might exceed Sink the Pink, and is some comedy gold, and that
why
is
would
the
that,
song
set off our audience and possibly Chris Sinzak, the Russian hacker.
Why would it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to tell you. I think we are going to feature the song "Something in Your Mouth" by Nickelback.
What? All right. Whoa. We've always had a pretty clean program here, Luce. We've promised, at least I thought we were on a professional level, that we were not going to use the N-word in a podcast.
The N-word being Nickelback. Yes, yeah, I think you're
right.
And let me go into this. I'm going to tell you that I think that the hate, I'm not telling you that Nickelback's a good band, but I'm just telling you that the hate for Nickelback is lazy. And I'll tell you what, but they're an easy target.
Mm-hmm. Slow moving, low hanging
fruit.
But
there are many, many bands worse that are in that same kind of genre. Like that I mentioned, like your Seether, Theory of a Dead Man, the list that you all say, isn't that like a combined?
Yeah, Breaking Abel and Saving Benjamin.
Yeah, just go on and on. And I will tell you, I will say right now, this loses probably all my credibility. There's a couple Nickelback songs I like.
Fly flew in my mouth. What were you saying?
This song, this album, Dark Horse, I'm just going to read some of these titles to you, okay? So this is, you know...
Oh, my God. They're real, but,
go ahead.
My wife's extended family, they have us over for Christmas, you know, I don't know, not every year, but enough. And one of her cousins got this CD, and this guy's like 48 at the time. Right. Someone got him this CD when it came out, and he's like, and the weird thing is that, like, this is one of those things that, like, I've now told the story so many times that it's become reality, even though there's, he was excited about it. I don't remember what he actually said, but the way I tell the story every time is he opens it up and goes, "Sweet," which is not a, not at all what he said. But he said something in the vein, but I like, "Sweet."
So when now he, when he opened it up, I gotcha. Yeah. Gotta Be Somebody was the big ballad thing on there. So you know, housewife, you know, number one gets this, brings it home, and says, "Oh, what? Let me hear some of these songs in here." Something in Your Mouth leads it off. Then you've got a song called "Shaking Hands," which is all about a stripper basically stealing mm-hmm. money and shaking hands, being like giving hand jobs.
Mm-hmm.
The song
we call
Sex.
It the Lake Street Handshake here in the Twin Cities.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay, there's a little stuff right there, and you know, a song called just Sex. I forget what the exact acronym is, but maybe you can come up with a funny one. But like every song here is ridiculous, and that's where I think the big clown fest about it is, and the fact that this album was produced by Mutt Lange. I think it's a little lazy just to single them out. In fact, I will say this too. They even have a sense of humor. You ever watch, do you know who Jim Gaffigan is?
Yeah, I do.
Well, basically, there's this episode where people go to jail for, it's called the public view or whatever, where they're condemned to prison. And it's him, it's Gilbert Godfrey, it's a bunch of other people, but the entire band, the entire Nickelback band is there, all like, you know, like they're condemned to prison because of public opinion jail. So the fact that they're even in there shows that at least they have a sense of humor about the.
Yeah, I think
bags.
It's a bit of a PR thing with them, though. I don't think they're in on the joke. I really don't. They've done a couple things like that. There's a Funnier Die video where they allow some of the nasty things being said about them read to them. I think it was about the maybe playing Thanksgiving or something like that.
Oh, like mean tweets, reading tweets.
Yeah, something like
that.
And it's one of those things where it's just like, hey, maybe we can change our image by showing people we have a sense of humor about it, which is a healthier way to approach it typically than, you know, getting offended and trying to lash out at people. But honestly, the best way to handle this stuff is go away until people are ready to accept you. It's not like they haven't made the money. Because it will come back around. I mean, let's not forget, Poison was a fucking joke. Def Leppard was a punchline. All those bands that are now back, I mean, and now accepted, you know, it just give it a break. Take 10 years off. Go do other stuff. And then come back. And but to try to maintain relevance by having a sense of humor. And that doesn't mean I disagree with you, because I totally do. I think it's... My biggest problem about people who poke fun at Nickelback is that it's kind of cliche, and that goes back to your lazy point. It's like the joke's been made, and it's about 5 or 6 years later. I mean, it's just not funny anymore, I guess, is my only thing.
Well, I'll tell you what. What is funny.
They're fucking great, and I love every song.
Listen, I'll tell you what's great is this line, and we'll go right into the song. You ready for this shit?
Yep.
You're so much cooler when you never pull it out, because you look so much cuter with something in your mouth.
Cool. funny, ain't it funny how the honey wanted you all along? You're not his thing. You're ripping up the dance floor, honey.
You're not in one love.
You shake your ass around.
You should be with anybody. Ain't it funny how the honey wanted you all alone?
All right. Ready? Well, can we? That's it for the Nickelback, right? The N word. We're done.
So, what song you got? Since I
we gotta play a Kiss tune, right?
Oh, absolutely. Anything you want. I mean, doesn't matter. You can play Come on, Love Me. You can try something more extreme, like in the.
I kind of want to do Burn, Bitch, Burn because that song gets destroyed so much. But we can do better than that.
You think so? What's better than that? I mean, that's got the log.
I'm going to put my log in your fireplace. Now, if you're listening at home, the log is Gene Simmons' penis, and the fireplace is somebody's vagina.
Oh. I got one. What about look it up? The down and na 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 down na 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 down na 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 na. Which song is that?
Oh, Fits Like a Glove.
Fits Like a Glove. When is that the one where he... compares a woman's vagina to a hornet's nest? Or is that a different?
ain't a cardinal sin, baby. Let me in, girl. I'm going to treat you right.
In the moment of sin, baby. Wait, did you just do that? Fuck.
Ain't a cardinal sin, baby. Let me in.
And then didn't he talk about wet dreams enough to make you...
Oh, yeah. Night screams and wet dreams or something like that. Enough to make you drool. Yeah,
fire for the fuel.
I know we gotta look those up. Yeah, that's the song right there, man.
Girl, I'm gonna treat you right. What goodness sakes, my snake's alive and it's ready to bite.
but I.
That's definitely the sex song.
Why didn't he just write a song called My Dick?
Like, he took the demon and got rid of the demon, and then he became, like, just the most misogynistic, angry guy for a little bit in the early 80s.
I got the lyrics up now. I forgot about the Hornet's Nest.
Go ahead.
Hornet. You want to do the beatnik poet again? Or?
And now, a little bit of Gene Simmons poetry.
Hornet's nest, lay me down to rest. Ooh, I want to shed my skin. I got the urge to merge. You're as cold as ice. Baby, won't you let me in? The urge to merge has got to be one of the money lines of sex songs, right?
Oh, my God, the urge to merge. I mean, come on.
I totally forgot before we listened to that. They're like,
'cause when I go through her,
boom, 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 it's just like, boom, boom.
A hot knife.
Through what, loose?
But
if you hear the album version, he says through butter. If he ever plays it live, he just doesn't say butter, and he just walks away. You ever notice that?
Yeah, it's because because that's an amazing vocal on the album, honestly.
Well, he goes through butter, and he does that long scream.
Yeah, mean? But he just hits that ridiculously high note, and you know.
Yeah! Oh, that's the best part. The best part of that song
is clean living, never doing drugs or smoking or drinking takes its toll on the ability to sing a song live. So,
well, all I know is that's one of the reasons that song was so great is the two screams throughout it, too. Yes?
Yeah. No, I mean, honestly, like I said, this is when Gene was still fucking Gene, man. When he could still convince people he was cooler than he really was.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff.
And it's an amazing vocal track, honestly. Every both him and Paul kill on Lick It Up, but beyond
that. Yeah, no, they do. So, you know, I don't think we're going to play it, but I just want to give props to a song all the way back to 1969.
Ooh, sex year.
69, man. And that is the Lemon Song by Led Zeppelin. And I'm just going to say, maybe we'll please play
a clip
or something like that.
Yeah, they'll sue us if we play it.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah.
That'd be good for the show if we got sued by Zeppelin, though, don't you think?
Yeah, it would be. It would be good publicity. Why not? But yeah, the whole squeeze me, baby, until the juice runs down my leg, the way you squeeze my lemon, I'm going to fall right out of bed. It's pretty extreme for back then. I mean, you had to.
Particularly poor automobile purchase.
Or just a recipe for making lemonade on a hot summer day. That too.
With Robert Plant's penis. And we got to get to the next one, Luce. Beyond the historical significance of Led Zeppelin's lemon squeezing references, mm-hmm. what you got?
You know, I'm going to go with some Van Halen. I mean, there's tons of songs, obviously, that you can throw out there. But one of the
Ice Cream Man.
One of the ones that
Jamie's
you can.
Crying.
Keep going.
I just was waiting for you to start, and then I interrupt.
Yeah, I mean, basically just
Mean
just
Street.
Read Van Halen 1 and 2, and Mean Street's not. No, that's
no I think two of the three I mentioned were not.
But no, one of them is we're going to go with some Van Hagar, and that is off of, you know, you want the ridiculously titled.
Widely considered the best lineup of Van Halen, by the way.
By Rob Kern?
anyway. Rob Kern was the one who told me that, so it's a fact.
Is that right? Okay. Yeah. So anyway.
Go see Cheap Trick this summer.
And for those that don't know who we're talking about, check out From Out of Nowhere. That's F-O-O-N. Also, if you search for it, great podcast. And also check out Loud, Drunk, and Angry, which is a weekly show on the, what's that network called?
The Uncontrolled Noise Network.
There you go, Uncontrolled Noise. So anyway, so Van Halen off the album OU812.
The last... U812?
Yeah, silliness. What was... I mean, maybe you know more than me. What was the whole obsession with... I know 5150 is a code for when somebody's insane, and it's also the name of the studio, but, I mean, what was the whole thing? Like, OU812, I ate one before you, something like that?
I never heard the OU812 story.
So, yeah, so the last track on the album, which is definitely the most rocking song on this album, is called Sucker in a Three-Piece.
It's a really good record, though.
It is. No, I like this one a lot. I like this and 5150 a lot. So, and I've actually...
Do you think it's more rocking than Black and Blue?
It's as much. I think this one, the guitars are even more.
More energy, I guess, yeah.
But Black and Blue is a great track too, absolutely. And that could qualify. That could definitely qualify for this too. But this qualifies.
With you.
Okay.
The wetter, the better.
Can I do this?
I'm just trying to chime in with some lyrics that we're not going to play.
The wetter, the better. Oh yeah. That's right. The wetter, the better.
The
do it till we're black
the
and blue.
Better. Let's do it till we're black and blue. Blue balls is not what he's talking about.
No, he's talking about doing it so hard that he's bruising her.
He's bruising the taints. Couple of chode bruisers.
Chode bruisers. That was the original title, actually. Chode bruisers.
I can't find nothing to rhyme with chode bruiser. It's called Black and Blue. Oh, yeah, because honey, I ain't through with you. Yeah.
Oh God! So anyway, these are the lyrics that make it definitely qualify it.
Well, I definitely know them, but let's share them with the public.
Yes, she's so fine. How about 9 to 10 scale? That's fine. Very polite. With long legs, straight up to her lunch pail. Okay, so now we've gone from hornet's nest to lunch pail. I have never heard a vagina referred to as a hornet's nest or a lunch pail before. Before I heard these songs,
ask you this, and maybe we should put this up as a poll on the Cobras and Fire Facebook page. But if you were a vagina, what term would you prefer, hornet's nest or lunch pail?
Well, think about a hornet's nest. A hornet's nest is just nothing but honey.
I would rather be a lunch pail. I'm just going to say
lunch pail is. Yeah, lunch pail is, you know, plus it's functional. You can you know, exchange sandwiches in there.
That's probably a really good exchange sandwich. You can have salami.
Whatever,
in there.
You can have a side. You can have a side
you
of
can
chips.
You can have sausage.
Sausage sandwich.
Cucumber.
What was the last thing you said?
Bananas.
Whatever.
All sorts of stuff in a lunch pail.
So the next part is sweet little wishbone, don't want to break her in half. And the next part is licks me up one side and down the other, always makes her laugh. Do the Eddie laugh. And here's my favorite part. This is the part when I first heard it, and I was like 14 years old. I was like, yes, I'm liking this song. And that is, that she takes me down to the bottom.
To the bottom.
I got everything you wanted, give you everything you need, blah, 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 blah. But that's what makes it.
Give
you
everything you need.
The last 10 seconds of the entire album is, I said, go ahead and suck it all up right down to the last drop.
We'll be right back. say, go ahead, suck it all up. Right down to the last drop.
My brow has never been this low.
Yes, yes. So what you got? What you got for the last song?
Well, there's one song I've been saving, and it has to be the last song. But before I tell you what it is, I want to give you kind of an eye hole peek. What's an eye hole? You know, a little peek hole. We're going to look into the mind of
a glory hole. A glory hole.
We're gonna peek through the glory hole and see God, that's perfect. We're going to see a young Baco. Anyway, apparently I've never really been a whole lot different than I am now. Mm-hmm. But a friend of mine and I took this song, which, by the way, I had to order an European import, and it came in green vinyl, and I had to hide it from anybody, you know, because this is one of those records that would have got taken from me. It was almost...
Now, is this the single or the album that you're going to go
into? It's a single. It was a two-sided single, and it was almost folklore. Like, did this even really exist? And it's the Wasp song, Fuck Like a Beast. Now, the whole story is all bullshit about it getting banned and all that stuff. It was really just kind of a side thing, almost like that Guns N' Roses Live Like a Suicide deal, where it wasn't really what they said it was. It was one of those things to kind of add a little steam to the whole story of the band.
It's very clever what you could do back before the interwebs.
Oh, no shit. And it was very effective, you know? Because, man, when I saw this in a magazine article, I fucking had to get my stepmom again to write a check to send off to this company to mail me this record that I in no way could ever let her know that I had. And she also had the only turntable in the house, only available on vinyl. I couldn't get it on cassette. In the living room, so I could only listen to it when I was the only person in the house, which was not very often when you're fucking 14, you know? My stepbrother and stepsister couldn't be around or nothing, right? So it was like a pretty cherished item, and it is, you know, it is so stupid. Anyway, I had a buddy of mine. He was more into, like, skateboard punk music, but we were both very into fucking with people. And there was, like, the store was called Schultz's, but it's just like Target, okay? And back then, boomboxes, you know, were a very popular thing. So imagine your little boom double cassette boombox. This thing was the size of, like, you know, three desktop computers. It's a 42-inch fucking flat screen is smaller than this thing. And I recorded a tape that only had the chorus. And by the way, the song, you'll hear it in a second, it stops and he goes, "I fuck like a bee!" All right, so I recorded about a minute of blank space and just spliced just that line in every 30 seconds or so. And we threw it in this boom box, cranked the volume, and then walked, you know, to the other side of the store and just sat. And of course, you got this little old woman who's running the jewelry counter and the music section. And she hears this.
A fuck like a bee!
Boom through this store. And she walks over there and, like, looking to see who's yelling this.
A fuck like a bee!
And it would be every 30 seconds.
Yeah, and eventually, you know, like, once she heard it again, she started hovering in one spot. And she caught it before too long, but
you know what that's like for her. That was the same thing as, like, you know, in the middle of the night when your smoke alarm goes out of batteries.
Yeah,
you're trying to figure out which one is beeping, and you're like running around. Except this one's just going,
"A fuck like a bee!"
My God, one of the proudest moments of my life. Honest to God. I shared that story with that friend of mine who now lives in Florida. Actually, not too far from where you used to live. Not too long ago, and you know, because we only stay in touch through Facebook now, and he's almost immediately got back to me that he had forgotten all about that, shared that story with everybody at work, and
that's great. No, I love it. I can visualize the whole thing. It'd drive me crazy.
We're walking around the store hiding with our skateboards, and it was just a brilliant idea.
We'll be right back.
You don't mind if I roll over and take a nap right now, do you?
If that's how you feel.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.